why am I here? Why am I growing? Why does it matter? I think Project New Village, going to the garden that first time was, I'm going to get teary-eyed. It was, I think, spiritually nourishing to know we were in a part of San Diego that there's so much love.
We don't always have to rely on these big companies that supply us with these canned foods, but with God knows what we want, that don't show in the label. No. I'm not down for that. I don't like that. I like going to my ranch and start planting something. Not just with myself, but with my family, with other communities, gathering.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Anthony Avalos, and this is another episode of Project Good Food. Today's a special one, y'all. Okay. Today, it might be my favorite recorded podcast up to date, and that's because we are talking about this idea of the Good Food District. It's powered through community. What does the Good Food District look like in Encanto? What does the Good Food District look like in Hamishaw, Skyline, Mount Hope, Valencia Park? Today, we're going to talk with residents from all over the Good Food District to see what the Good Food District means to them. And we're going to have the chance to hear about the elements of a Good Food District, some of the community members that are included, and how we together can create a reality that we deserve. I sincerely hope that you enjoy this phenomenal podcast half as much as I enjoyed recording it, because y'all, we have gems hidden in our communities. Here's a little piece of them.
I'm Francine Maxwell, a native San Diegan, and so I've been doing advocacy work for a very long time.
I'm Roxanne Kilborn, a native San Diegan. Grew up right here in 92114 over in Emerald Hills. Went to school here, went to college here.
My name is Lucia Davis. I was born and raised in San Diego.
My name is Dolores Johnson, and I've been in San Diego for many, many years.
Today, we are going to be discussing the Good Food District. What does that term mean? Where did it come from? How does it impact the decisions that we at Project New Village make? How does it impact you, the community member? And how do we work together to truly create the Good Food District? Today, we're going to find out as we discuss with residents from all over the Good Food District what it means to them and how they are participating to make sure that the Good Food District stays the Good Food District.
I had been attending Project New Village's meetings and tasting some wonderful food that came out of Diane Moss's garden. And she always bought the best food when we would have a potluck. So about 2014, we began to hear about the Good Food District and what the Good Food District could be and will be in the future. And so it was just a matter of making sure that everyone know that your voice is very important. And if you can imagine it and if you could dream it, we can implement it. And so to know that you can grow something healthy, from growing something healthy to ingesting it and changing you and your family's narrative that health is wealth, was just the foundation of what the Good Food District was going to look like.
And you spoke to beautifully the why in there. Would you mind unpacking a bit of why does that matter, right? Why do you feel like you must be involved in that work?
Well, when community members see each other's neighbors doing something, then they tend to join because you're a trusted messenger. And so before someone puts their name on something and they stamp something, you got to go and roll your sleeves up and put in some work. So I've been to many work days where we've been pulling greens, and there was nothing better than when there was a green shortage because the trucks could not come down from Los Angeles to deliver collard greens and Thanksgiving. So everybody knew that they could meet Project New Village and the Mount Hope Garden, and you can get your collard greens for your Thanksgiving and your Christmas. There's nothing like having collard greens come out the ground. And so to see the line wrapped around in the Good Food District to buy collard greens, to buy the onions so that you can have, it's nothing better. And so people see community trusted leaders pulling things. That means that they want to pull. The Good Food District teaches us to see a plot of land and reimagine that plot of land. Then we also help people understand how to engage with our elected officials so that we can even talk about rezoning, how you can turn your front yard into a garden, your backyard and the sides, how we can conserve water. So it's constant teaching. I am a lifelong learner, but I also love teaching the next two generations behind me and making sure that we can acclimate to what's going to be the best for the future of our community.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you so much, Ms. Francine.
My pleasure.
Wow. It sounds like to me there is so much encompassed in this idea of Good Food District that has to do with placemaking. It has to do with education. It has to do with health. It has to do with resilience. And so I noticed that a lot of people in this space are very community focused. They want to identify the ways in which they can support the community best.
I came to a meeting for the Good Food District, and I was so excited. I mean, I was super excited when I came because I didn't really know anything about it. And when I came, I was excited because it was touching on something that is the dearest thing to my heart. And that is quality food that goes in these bodies so that we can have a wonderful, healthy life. And I was just all over it, so kept coming. And I'm even more excited because it's really the thing that I've been working on, researching, and doing since the 80s. And so to be a part of this is, it feels like purpose and destiny. It's bringing the community together, and we're doing it together. And everybody's getting to learn about their relationship with food and why that's important. Because we just eat. We like it because it's spicy, or we like it because it's sweet, or we like it because it makes us feel good. But to have a relationship with food where we're looking at, where did it come from? Did it come from Canada? Has it been on a train? Was it hard and green and now it's ripe? We're going to be connected to some things that we don't really think about often when we eat. I mean, not the average person. So that we all will have personal growth. There's such an opportunity for education and advocacy. Again, community to me to the community, to our neighbors. We'll be able to support local farmers. Those wonderful people that will be supplying food right here. So that's exciting. It will give us a lot of visibility and credibility, and it's just gonna be like all the rave, because to not have to leave your community to go get food, which I lots of times do, because I know where it comes from, I know the nutritional value of it, and I connect the nutritional value with my wellness. So that's a piece. And so just bringing people together as neighbors, as community, we'll be able to promote stability, if that's a thing, food stability, where we know, oh, I'm going to go over here and get my food. And I know that where it's been sourced, I know what's been sprayed on it or not sprayed on it. And there's that education piece that's available to where I know what it does for this body and my wellness journey.
It really sounds like to me that one of the benefits that you see is the benefit of health for everybody. A proper meal takes time, right? There's a metaphor there where the people who have been doing this work because they recognize the value of it for decades now have a space to showcase that work.
I was born and raised in San Diego. And recently made my way back with my spouse, Walker, who isn't here today, a few years ago. And we moved into a house on my parents' property here in Southeast San Diego, right up the street, actually. And that's what brought me here, this part of who I am. I'm also a student, a PhD student at the University of San Diego. I'm working on my PhD in education for social justice, and I'm an emerging Chicana feminist scholar. Yes. Wow. Okay. So in 2023 now, having moved to this neighborhood, I live on a property where my siblings also have dwellings. And so my younger brother, his wife, who works for the County of San Diego, she's known that my spouse and I were struggling with food insecurity. And so she mentioned one day that there was going to be a food distribution in our neighborhood. And we got excited and we're like, okay, well, let's go. She happened to then mention it was at a community garden. And then we got really excited. The thought of going to, one, get food, get nourishment, but at a community garden, just like was the cherry on top. And so that started, that introduced us to, actually that's where I met Miss Moss. And then I got a flyer, for, you know, community work day. And then my spouse and I were started following, Project New Village on social media. And then anytime we were able to go to the community work day, we would go. And then our dream was then to find ways to sustain ourselves, even if it was a small little bit of land or a windowsill, to just sustain ourselves in the smallest way possible, if that was the only way possible, but in any way possible. And so why am I here? Why am I growing? Why does it matter? I think Project New Village, going to the garden that first time was, I'm going to get teary-eyed. It was, I think, spiritually nourishing to know we were in a part of San Diego that there's so much love, but all of our love looks different. And although there's so much community love, there is a lot of other love that is lacking, like from our city. And so in recognizing that historic marginalization of Southeast San Diego, of South San Diego, of historically Black and Brown San Diego, I knew that there's more that we can do here as just a resident. Like, yeah, like my address is up the street on Hamishaw, but as a like community member, like I want to feed my neighbors just like they feed me. We have an electrical box two houses down from our house. And that we refer to it as the neighborhood or the community trading post, because not only will we take things that we either don't eat or are no longer serving us for whatever reason, we will also take from that spot from other folks, from our neighbors that also put things there. So before stepping foot in Project New Village's garden, I was already experiencing communal nourishment and radical community love. And that moves me, that it counters all of the horrors that we see every day. It is humanity in the face of inhumanity. And I think that that is worthy of uplifting every single day, because like every day, I think free Palestine, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Straight up.
And so just like I say free Palestine, I say free all of us.
That's right.
And so I think there's a lot of resistance and just showing up and loving each other. And I felt that energy the moment I stepped foot in that garden. So
what's interesting is that your answer not only answered the question I had, but the next subsequent question, right? Which, I mean, you beautifully explained what some of the benefits are, right, of the development of the Good Food District, the mm-hmm. placemaking, and having a space to do all of the things that you mentioned.
Yeah.
How do you see yourself benefiting from this Good Food District initiative that we have going at Project New Village?
Oh, wow. So my spirit is nourished in the sense that I am building relationships with some really beautiful humans that we align in the ways that I guess we love critically, maybe. And I see all the stimuli in the world as stimuli that teaches us. So through those relationships, through the work that is done on the volunteer days, through the workshops that are provided, through the community building and the other volunteer opportunities beyond the garden at the high school, maybe at a different school sometime, you know, I feel like all of that is crucial to, at least for me, to survive. So I guess ultimately I bring it back to nourishment. It nurtures my spirit. It nurtures my mind. It nourishes my body. Being involved with this Good Food District also gets me out of my house, right? It gets me outside. I'm touching trees. I'm talking to my plants. I'm talking to plants at the garden. Like I can't harvest beet leaves without telling my beets I'm sorry. Like it's deep. So I guess maybe it's not just all of that, but it's also fostering a very deep connection that I think we all have to our ancestral knowledges and the ancestors that are around us when we need them most, right? So in engaging in all of that nourishes every piece of what I just said.
I was invited to the gardens, and the food was delicious. The people were beautiful, and I was hooked. I got involved because I liked what was being done. And I started to read labels and and just eat better. I start watching my intake with drinks, sugary drinks. And I think my life overall is much better since I've been coming to the garden. I eat more fresh fruits. And now that we're going to have the market built, I think it's wonderful because we should not have to go outside of our community to receive good foods. So I'm looking really forward to having this market. And I will continue to eat well and read labels, and lots of fresh fruits and vegetables is important for all of us to have good health.
It's interesting to note that in the area that we're talking about, Southeast San Diego, Southeastern San Diego,
right?
There's no market that's walkable where we can buy fresh, organic, locally grown produce.
That's right.
Does the idea of us having this market make you feel like there's a chance for us to build healthier habits?
Yes, of course. Knowing that there's fresh fruits and vegetables, and that we can get there either by walking, or you know, we can have transportation. But at least if you can walk there, that's better. And then knowing the organic foods and what they do to your body, and staying away from poisons, sugar is poison, and how much we drink, so many fruit drinks is full of sugar. And so we have learned a lot. I have learned a lot about food since I've been coming to the garden. And I share with my friends and my family also. So I think it's very helpful.
How does it make you feel when you first walk into the garden?
I feel upbeat. I feel happy seeing the fruits all around me and the nice people. I love coming and I don't miss a day.
So, Ms. Moss, there's so many conversations that are happening about so many important things. Can you explain what this idea of equitable food-oriented development, which is the actual meaning of EFOD, how you came to be introduced to it, and what it actually means?
So we were practicing an EFOD model before we knew what it meant. We were attracted to people who were doing similar work to us across the country, the closest being just north in Los Angeles. So we called them, we met with them, we visited them, and then we applied for an initial grant with them because they, at that point, were forming a network of resident-led, people of color, movement organizations with deep roots in the community. And the application reflected that. I mean, you had to meet 5 criteria in order to be an organization. We easily met the criteria because it was the criteria for our existence. So these were like souls around the world. This was really a wonderful connection to be made. And to this day, we're continuing to talk to the projects that are associated with the EFOD network. In fact, there are fiscal sponsors or fiscal advisors, Angel City advisors up in Los Angeles. We met them as a condition or a byproduct of being in this network. And they are helping us with the work that we are doing to build our EFOD project here, the Good Food District. So EFOD is a model of community activation led by residents of a particular space. So it is a model and a tool that we've chosen to use so that we can get the support and guidance and sharing from other projects, but it also fit our value system here. So it was an easy connection to make. Actually, I think that we were doing this as a member of the San Diego Food System Alliance. So we know that to date, we're probably the only local organization that's using this strategy as we define it. But we do know that we have allies in City Heights, in Chula Vista, and other places that are working this kind of model where residents are leading the initiative. And that's the key piece to this, right? One of the key pieces. Again, I alluded to five criteria here, and that was one that's the most compelling. You can't come from someplace else and lead people in their own community. The people in the community lead the process, and we then work with a cross-section of professional folks who can lend their talents to the movement that we've begun in the place where we live. I hope I answered your question, Anthony.
Well, what you're doing is just giving me tons of food for thought. Because all of us want to go about transforming different aspects of society that we feel need transforming. As I look at transforming our food system, I am curious as to what principles that Project New Village embodies that is also highlighted through EFOD that you feel like is allowing this work to not only have made it this far, to have been sustained to this point, but will continue to sustain us.
Well, the five criteria that you must meet in order to be an EFOD organization is one, justice and equity first, right? That's the first thing that we do. It's for communities that have been underserved and kind of extracted from, right? So that we can empower the folks that live here. And empowerment is not something you give people. It's something that develops from internally from doing the work. So second criteria would be place and people-based, right? We're not asking, we have a geographically defined space that we call the Good Food District here. And it's within that place that we are trying to get folks, our neighbors, to join this campaign to make things better. The third principle is to have a market-based strategy. So we're not just trying to have a program just to make things happen, but we want to have an impact on the economic environment here, right? In a place where we don't have what we don't need somebody to import something so that they can make the profit. We want to have a circular economy here, and we want to benefit from our efforts, not only financially, but nutritionally and every other way. The fourth is community leadership and engagement. So I'm a principal person in this movement that we started, and I live 2 miles from where we are. I am clearly a resident of southeastern San Diego since the 80s. And lastly, we want to look at community ownership and how we promote that through the work that we're trying to do with the village, as well as working with backyard growers. We're saying you own it, and from what you own and the talent you bring, then you get the dollars. You can own your business. You can sell to us. You can be a part of what we're doing, and you pick your lane, right? Do you grow food? Do you cook food? Do you distribute food? Or other things that might be relational to the food system. But looking for ways that we can make ownership and a circular economy here where we live.
You mentioned the Good Food District. And for those who may not be as familiar, why is it so important that we here in southeastern San Diego are reminded that we live in a good food district?
Because if you didn't talk to us, you wouldn't know. We coined the phrase. We, the collective that work here, some years ago, you know, we meet monthly and we look at, we're doing something good here. What should we call it? We know it's about good food, but it's a placemaking effort that's in a geographical area. And that area is southeastern San Diego, and the areas, the city's just on the border where we are, because we share shopping, eating experiences. When Wrigley's closed and on the border of National City, it's also on the border of southeastern San Diego. So it impacted not only National City, but southeastern San Diego. Same thing with Lemon Grove. So we're taking the experiences and the connections around food that already exist and using those to build a new system. And in order to do that, it has to be the people who are involved, the people who are here living, shopping, and using this system. We know what we need to do to change it. And what we do is seek out the help we need from other professionals with good hearts that come and lend their time and their talents so that we can move the needle on this underfunded, undersupported opportunities in southeastern San Diego, or known to us as the Good Food District.
My name's Angel. I come from Morris High School. I'm an 11th grader.
And so you are part of the Morris Culinary Program.
Yep.
Right. Why is it that you decided to be part of that program? And the real question I'm getting at is, what is the importance in working with food for you?
For me, the importance of working with food really just ties down to where I came from and to the experiences I had with all my family members in gathering and fishing. For me, it's all spiritual. It's all about heart. And it really just comes to not just eat a healthy meal that comes down straight from the earth or down straight from the ocean, but it's a way to gather family and to gather all your community together to really just justify the fact that you're in this world, but you're in it together, to really just enjoy everything.
Why do you think it's important for everybody to learn about food, where food comes from?
I feel like it's important to learn where the food came from, not only because it ties down to your ethnicity, but it also ties down to your culture that helps you provide for your community.
Why is it important that people learn about food? And you know, what is it that we're missing that your experience showed you we should have?
I think what I realize is missing, especially in this country, in the United States, I realize that not a lot of people truly rely on themselves to gather their own food. Honestly, I've realized after coming here, I've only been here for 2 years, but it was kind of not necessarily a like sad or depressive experience, but it truly showed me how much we want to rely on like false sources to get our food. And just unnatural ways, just filled with chemicals, filled with many other things that just don't belong in the body. Much about that, growing your own food, gathering your own food, or just buying it from a reliable source that you know that there's people, community, just gathering so that they could supply you with the proper nutrients, food that you know is true and can truly give you that full sensation without having to worry about no chemical or anything like that to go inside you. It comes down to getting it all from a reliable source. And that's why I feel like Project New Village truly just shows you the fact that they go around and just in these cars with all their freshly grown, freshly gathered, with all their communities. Like, it shows you the fact that we can grow our own. We can go back in time and do the proper thing, not just for us, but for everybody else in our family, to gather that really healthy source, the nutrients filled in that for ourselves. Be greedy. Sometimes you gotta be greedy and wish for the healthier choice. Sometimes you gotta be greedy and do what's right, man. We don't always have to rely on these big companies that supply us with these canned foods, but with God knows what we want, that don't show in the label. No. I'm not down for that. I don't like that. I like going to my ranch and start planting something, not just with myself, but with my family, with other communities, gathering. We got all that. We go down in the ocean. We fish for our nutrients. We get our protein from there, and we help the ocean. We help the earth. Why? Because it supplies us with what we need. Project New Village really shows you, you get what you want, but you gotta help it indeed.
Hello, my name is Max. I'm from Morris High School, and I am a 10th grader.
So what was your first experience like at the People's Produce Truck?
The first experience in freshman year, I didn't really go to it, but this year I saw my mom in the parking lot, so I went over there, and then she was like, "What's that cart over there?" I was like, "Oh, it's just like free vegetables and like fruits." And she was like, "And I'm Hispanic," so she was like, "Oh, get some." So right. I was like, "Do they have avocados?" I was like, "Yeah," and she was like, "Cause she loves like eating them raw."
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, she was like, "Oh my God, give me some." I was like, "Okay." And then, yeah, that's like the first time I ever tried it.
So the word is, Max, that you have become the experimenter. You have become the person who is willing to try new things. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the new things that you've tried on the truck?
New things? Well, when I was a kid, I didn't really try like a lot of vegetables or fruits because my mom, she didn't like force me or something. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know how like when you're like a kid, they're like, "Oh, if you don't eat your broccoli or your vegetables, you're not leaving this table."
Oh yeah.
My mom never did that. Oh, so wow. I didn't really eat vegetables, low-key kind of bad. So basically I tried carrots. I actually really like carrots. Like, and I tried like the squash.
Oh yeah.
The yellow squash. I loved it. It was honestly the texture. It was very different to me.
Yeah.
But I like it. And broccoli, because I was scared of trying broccoli because you know how everybody hates broccoli.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, right. But now I like it. Personally, I like a lot of vegetables than fruit. I'm more like a vegetable person.
Why do you think it's important that we get to experience vegetables, that we get to try fruits and veggies?
Because one, they are very good for us and they could really benefit like a lot, like prevent cancer or like literally any like diseases. And also, you know how like when you're like sick, you like eat vegetables because it's like nutrients and it's like good for you. Or like, and also like if you want something sweet but like you want something healthy, just eat some fruit. Like,
do you think that it's important that if we're gonna rely on fruits and vegetables as a way to stay healthy, do you think it's important to know what goes into those vegetables, whether or not they're sprayed with like chemicals, for instance?
Well, yeah, because if they're like unnatural,
right?
Like, because apparently I found out that the ones you get in the store, they're not very natural, because like, you know how they're like bigger, mm-hmm. except the ones that are naturally grown. Yeah. And I was like, what? So
yeah, it's rough.
So basically it's like better that you know what's in it, because I don't know those chemicals or why they're going in my body. Like, is something bad gonna happen to me?
What reason would you give somebody if you were trying to convince them to pay more attention to the food that they eat and where mm-hmm. that comes from? What would you say to them as a why?
I feel like, it's to be honest, like, it's your body. Like, you need to, like, you need to heal it. Like, it's your body, because you only have one body. You only have one life. And you just need to have vegetables and know what is coming from. Cause like, what happened, like something's bad in it. Like, you only have one body. Like, and also they're actually pretty good. Like, actually they're really good. Like, you have to give them a chance.
I'm Hakeem Elwarga and I attend Morris High School and I'm currently a junior.
How has working with food impacted the way that you look at food?
We kind of realize how like difficult it is to make some of your favorite foods and stuff, and like kind of really take for granted just like how much food takes, and like it really takes your heart and your soul to like really prepare something, and it takes a lot of organization. Like, cooking is not as easy as it kind of seems like. I mean, obviously it's kind of like, well, it's common sense in a lot of cases, but you kind of just really need to know what you're doing and just, and they just, yeah, have to be very, say, responsible.
As you're working through the chef program, do you guys work at all with, let's say, the garden program to bring in some of the food that you're going to be using?
Yeah, I'd say, because I know Chef brings in the stuff and I know she handles a lot of that, but I know she does Like she does sometimes use some of the food we have in the garden. I remember our first garden club meeting, which we had a dragon fruit growing, a little dragon fruit tree, and like one of them, she picked out one of them, and then everyone in the club gathered around as she cut open and let us try some of the dragon fruit, and it was really good. It was like the best dragon fruit I've ever had.
Because
I mean, no hate to dragon fruit, but it kind of tastes bland. It just tastes like nothing. Like I don't understand it, but that had a flavor. It was like so nice. Like I was like, dang. And I like in that moment I realized, like, because I'm also part of the garden club, which, because what's kind of funny, I didn't originally plan to be, but Chef just kind of put me in it. But I was like, huh? But I grew to like enjoy it, and like, yeah, especially that, because that was the first meeting, I believe, and that kind of like jump-started like that, like a bit of a passion towards like understanding and realizing, oh, we like our food we grow and everything, like there's that garden just like outside over here, and then another, like is there here all the garden, a few of the little like garden sections you have in Morris, like are full of potential, and I want other people to like realize how good food tastes just in our own soil. A lot of people don't realize like how valuable it is to like have the knowledge of like having your own like access to food, and like know that you can have better than what you already have. Like of course you buy stuff from the grocery store, it's like it's nice and cheap, you know, but you could grow it at home or go to local grocers, and they're really for you, you know. It gives you much more of a sense of community. And yeah, like because sometimes when I walk home or like just walk in this area in general, I feel people who live here would know, some people just have trees of just either guava or oranges, and I mean I don't know if you should, but sometimes, like, you know, maybe they'll fall on the ground or something. Yeah, you take some, you try it, you know? And, yeah, like, just locally grown food and just Southeast San Diego is known for a lot of things, but I feel like most of its connotations are negative. But I feel we have the power to change that, and food is definitely a way to do that.
I remember having conversations about food apartheid and Southeast San Diego being a part of San Diego that very much had to survive through food apartheid for generations. And for us to see a potential to be labeled as the part of San Diego where the rest of San Diego comes to get good food, whether that's food that's grown right here in one of our community gardens or our local home grows, or it's food that's produced at one of our partner schools, right, in the Morris Culinary Program, or any of the other chefs that we often get the pleasure of working with at the Garden Space. My question with that is, how does the Good Food District come to life?
So the interviews that have taken place for this podcast are the evidence that it's alive and doing well in our community. The people who chose to share their stories with us today, it's not something that just happened yesterday. These are people who've been around in the community. They've seen things that work, things that don't work. They've chosen to be active. Our model doesn't work if we're not actively involved in doing things here in the community. You can't passively sit because it won't happen. When we put a market together, we're going to need our community to come out. So this is what we're doing. And before the market gets here is making sure that we identify the stakeholders who have the capacity to give, want to give, and to use those talents so that we create something that is in demand for the people who live here. Not, there's some supermarkets or superstores, if you will, that their demographics don't allow them to build here. We've seen grocery stores in our community collapse. And a lot of that is because grocery stores don't tend to buy the property. They tend to come in and lease. If you're a bigger chain store, maybe you can lease for decades. But these mom and pop stores like Wrigley's, when the rent goes up, there's not a bandwidth that allows them to take on that. So they have to leave. If you look at some of the architecture in our community, you can see what used to be a grocery store is now something else because that grocery store left. So if you live here and your plans are staying here, then maybe you're not leaving. And maybe we can build some permanent assets, right, that would serve as resources for our community's essential needs, one of those being food.
I love that you said that this is not a passive process.
No.
In order to recognize the Good Food District, how are you asking people to show up?
Well, I'm biased, but I think if you live here and you eat here, you would want where you live to have what you need. I shouldn't have to get on a bus or take transportation someplace else for a basic need. So when I talk to my neighbors, that's what I'm saying. What is it that you need? What is it that we need to make together so that we can invest and eat and enjoy it together here in the neighborhood where we live? San Diego's a tourist town, and I know that people should go other places and enjoy what we have in this town. But we need to make a commitment that some percentage of our time is an investment where we live. If you don't invest where you live, then how does it grow and get better? So our job is to connect and say, this is the big picture. There's no shortcuts here, right? In order to make it happen, we have to make it happen and hold others accountable who kind of like get in the way. I'm not going to name anybody here today.
Bars. Look, there's a reason why I begged Miss Moss to start recording some of the jewels that she had for the rest of us, because this is knowledge that is survival knowledge, right? This is knowledge that's thrival knowledge. This is the knowledge that not only makes sure that we minimize the amount of mistakes that we have to relearn and remake, but also gives us a clearer vision of what is better. As we look to the 2025 year, and as we look for things to get involved in, ways to improve our mental and emotional state with all of the bombardment of negativity that we see, recognize that there are options, there is spaces, but that some of those spaces are asking that the only thing that you bring to the space is a clear mind, a solid heart, and a little bit of grit. Until next time. This is the Good Food Podcast.